When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
And by the way, then changing from iPhone, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Changing from iPhone to an Android was one of the
most difficult.
Of all the things I've done in my life, college,
yeah. Childbirth. You know what I always
just think? Breaking away from Apple was right. One of the hardest.
Well, I love that we finally have reached the point where we are our parents with VCRs.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when you were a kid and like you were like, how do you not understand how to program the VCR? And I'd watch my dad like not I pity buttons, and I was just like, oh my god, I will never be that old and dumb.
Yes, you
and
are.
And yet here I am, like yep. Indy will be like grabbing his iPad and he'll be able to just zip through things, and I'm like, whoa, slow down.
I'm gonna need to write this down.
Wait, we're doing Roblox now? Minecrafting? How do I? Wow. And he'll be just zipping through, and I'll be like, oh my god, I've
you
become
realize that
dad.
Is absolutely the equivalent of when we used to turn the knob too fast, and you'd hear from the other room, don't turn the knob so fast. Did you even have knobs on your
TV? No, what are you talking about?
What on earth are you talking about, old man?
Exactly. That's how TV used to start, is you had knobs, and then when you got into the UHF channel, it was like...
TVs used to have a pull start, like a lawnmower.
That's you wish.
Back in Connecticut, that's how it was.
You make fun, my friend. You make fun, and you're the guy who can't operate an iPad. You're old too, my friend.
Do you remember we used to tease you all the time? Like, that was our running gag.
About being old?
No, ironically, I don't. We used to tease you. about what life was like in Connecticut.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
We're in the third
world country.
One of the biggest things, the biggest difference that we could identify was you called it TV.
Oh, right.
Not
TV.
Not TV.
Yeah, we still do TV.
Because it's television.
And do you have an aunt or an aunt?
I have an aunt. I love how you laugh. It's like saying, and I would always say the same thing. Yes, you're right, because I was born in August. No, the A and the U make a different sound. You're
That is not a good argument.
That's true. Okay, it's aunt.
The good argument with television was what?
Oh, the good argument with television is because it's television. You don't say television. You say television.
Right. Does make sense. That does make sense.
So it's TV.
TV.
Yeah.
TV.
Exactly. All right. Well, we should probably start the show.
We're here to talk about our TV show.
Our TV show.
That we were on.
No, the thing we would always talk to you about was your inflections, because we would back east say, like, this is so good. And Ryder would go, this is so good. He'd go up on the end of everything.
I'm a surfer tall. I still talk about
it. And it wasn't. It was like, that was a strange thing. It was like, dude, this is so great.
I've been listening to the conversations between me and Indy. We're just like the most California surfer dude.
Are you on the 101? I'm going on the 5 to the 101.
You're going
to
get caught.
That's so funny. It's loco.
And have some tacos. About the shirts?
Yeah.
Oh, my. We should probably start the show, shouldn't we?
I think we
have. Marty York waiting.
No. So last week we had Lee Norris on.
Lee
in his giant yellow pants.
How cool was that outfit?
90s clothes were so large. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the 90s jeans are very much in.
Yeah. Well, those were Ryder's favorite jeans. He loved the
JNCO jeans
because they had a big enough pocket for your books.
Exactly.
That was the thing that you liked so much.
That's right.
I absolutely remember that because your back pocket could hold the book you were reading.
It's still such a thing for me. Like, yeah. I hate that books have gotten bigger. Like, I like the old school, like, small paperbacks.
Yeah.
And so, books have gotten bigger and back pockets have gotten smaller. So I can't do it anymore. I have to carry a backpack.
But At least men still get pockets in their clothes. Yeah. Like, women, I mean, if you find a dress with pockets, you're like, does it come in any other colors?
Well, that's why the fanny pack has come back. Yeah. Now everybody's wearing a fanny pack over their shoulder.
Side slung. Yeah.
My wife always says that. It's like, if I find something I like, she's like, I'm getting it in every color.
Yeah, how many colors? By the way, if you love one color in particular, get two of them. Throw it away. If something happens to it, you get a backup.
So, but it is ridiculously long clothing.
I did not know my size. Oversized. I thought I was large.
They, apparently.
I would wear large shirts and pants with like 36 waist. And I did not understand. It wasn't until I was like 20 years old and I moved to New York and I started buying actual jeans that were not JNCO. And I realized I'm actually a size small and a 30 waist.
I'm 44 long.
I literally didn't understand like human sizes.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Oh my God.
That's absolutely the way it works. Oh, Lee Nor. That was a great episode though. But this one is pretty phenomenal.
This
as well.
One's really great too. And I'm so excited about our guest this week. He played the iconic role of Alan Yaya McLennan in The Sandlot. He was also the voice of Weasel in Hey Arnold.
Yep.
And as we all know, this idea for this podcast was his.
Well,
it was his idea to start this podcast.
It's just the running thing. It's everybody else's idea, but writers. I just love that Bill Daniels came up with this. This is a great idea.
So, I mean,
No credit.
Put the credit in your big back pocket, my friend, because it is yours. You get credit for doing this. This is absolutely
all right,
true.
Fine. It was Ryder's idea. Today we are talking to him about being Larry on the first season of Boy Meets World. Let's please welcome Marty York.
Yay! Could you guys not hear me at first?
No.
Couldn't hear you at all. No.
Couldn't hear you. Couldn't see you.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. So good. So good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
You look exactly the same as you did when you were 12.
On the show. Exactly. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. I ate the beast from The Sandlot.
Well, it worked. Damn.
Speaking of The Sandlot, that is actually my first question for you. Which did you film first? So your first episode of Boy Meets World was also my first episode of Boy Meets World. You were in episode number 104, Corey's Alternative Friends. Did that come before The Sandlot, or had you already filmed The Sandlot?
I already filmed The Sandlot. That came after.
Okay.
But The Sandlot hadn't been released yet, right?
No, it had been released.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think we had done the pilot with Chauncey Leopardi.
Yep.
But he had already shot Sandlot.
Mm.
And then you came on once our show got picked up and we were filming, 4 or 5 months later. And Sandlot had already come out that summer. So we started in the fall and Sandlot was out. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was definitely after. But I still remember seeing Danielle at all the auditions when I was a kid. She had big poofy curly hair.
Yeah, that's about right. Those bangs.
Your mom had like the same haircut as you.
That's true too. I was a little mini Jennifer Fischel. We both had feathered bangs.
Oh my God. Yes, of course.
So how did you get into acting, Marty? How did you find you? And where was your mom also had the same hair as you, taking you to auditions? What was your situation?
My mom didn't have the same hair as me, but I started in theater in Northern California.
I did a
lot of theater productions, and you know, my parents split when I was about 10. So my mom brought me out to LA, and my aunt actually ran Cenex Casting, which was a big extras casting company. And so she was like, oh, hey, let me take you to your aunt and maybe we can get you some extra roles and some, you know, some stuff. So the first thing I did was a movie with John Candy called Delirious.
Oh, Delirious was a great, great movie.
Yes. Mariel Hemingway. John Candy.
Yeah.
Is that the one about the soap opera?
Yeah, it's the one where that he wakes up in the soap opera town that he writes.
That's
His typewriter is actually hooked to the town, so he can actually start writing the stuff that happens.
Oh, I need to rewatch that movie.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was your first time?
Yeah, it was like the Warner Brothers backlot. And, you know, it was my first time seeing like a whole movie set and all that. And I remember at one of the breaks, I started doing John Candy's lines. And he overheard me. And he walked over and he like touched me on the shoulder. He goes, hey kid, that's pretty good. And he took out a piece of toilet paper and signed his autograph and gave it to me.
On a piece of toilet paper?
Do you still have it?
Yeah, I still have it.
That's awesome. And so, I mean, that moment, did you know then as you were, before you became an extra, or does the meeting with John Candy have something with you kind of going, wait, I might be able to do this?
Yeah, you know, it kind of like, because, you know, John Candy was bigger than life back then. Yeah. Of course, I knew who John Candy was, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and Uncle Buck and all those movies. So when he did that, I was like, wow, mom, like, I really want to do this. And then I went to an agent and she's like, I got an audition for a Colgate toothpaste commercial for you. That was my first real like audition. And I remember I had to dance with a little girl. And I was so scared because there's all these like producers and directors. I ran and hid behind the chair.
Oh my gosh.
In the casting room. And they're like, it's okay, come out. And I kind of like,
oh my God.
Was like, and I came out and I actually did it. I danced with the girl and I got the, that was the first thing I did. It was the first thing I auditioned for.
And you booked it?
Yeah, I booked it. I booked it.
You're on a roll.
And then I got called back to play a little Italian kid in a Ragu spaghetti sauce commercial. That was my, the same from the same company.
Yeah. Wow. And, we have very similar origins.
We all do. A lot of child actors have that kind of, you always start with the commercial. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of commercial that is, we all remember our first one of doing something.
Yeah.
I never did a commercial.
You did really? Too. You did the voiceover.
I did the voiceover.
One of the biggest commercials of like all of the late 80s, early 90s. Yes. You showed it to me and I was like, oh my God, that's
a milk commercial.
I had completely forgotten that I had done that. But I never did an on-camera commercial.
Yeah. I've never done a commercial.
I don't do commercials.
I've never been on television in my life.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It was so good.
So Marty, what did you know? Well, so you had already, so Sandlot was really the big step up. That was when you were a part of a big cast, a great role. And did you, when you were making that movie, did you guys know how great it was going to be? Or did it feel like you were part of something special immediately?
I mean, it was like a big summer camp. I think we shot that whole movie in like 45 days over the course of 1992. Wow. And we just had fun the whole time. Like,
where'd you guys shoot?
We shot in Glendale, Utah.
Whoa.
So
I wasn't expecting Utah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a part of there's a part of Utah. Looks like, you know, Pacoima in 1962. So they brought in all the old cars and we had all the old, you know, old fashioned clothes on, and it was like stepping into the, you know, the 60s when we shot that movie, because everything was vintage, everything they brought in.
That's so cool. That must be really cool to be in a giant period piece kind of movie.
Yes. Yes. Didn't you do a period piece movie with, I'm thinking you did something I saw that you were, it's like a period piece.
Me?
Yeah, it was set in like the '50s or something.
I did
one of my first role. Actually, my first movie role was this TV movie called Long Road Home, which was like a Grapes of Wrath ripoff.
Oh, okay.
With Dan, what's his name?
I don't know. I wasn't in it.
Mike Harmon. Mark Harmon.
Whoa,
Mark Harmon.
What is happening here?
My brain just went through like
toast. All
right. Mark Harmon played my dad, and I had two lines. They both got cut. But for 4 weeks we lived in the Central Valley of California. Like, we basically, they set up Depression era camps. Like, and we were all like, every day was, you know, us as like this poor Grapes of Wrath style family. It was really cool. It was
Wait, like a giant playground. You were there for 4 weeks to do two lines?
Because I was a part of a family. It was, it was like, wow. It was basically an extra for the entire, right? I know.
Wait a second.
I know.
It was a 11-week shoot.
Oh, it gets even worse.
And then I was cut.
It gets even worse because my agents and my parents and everything, do you remember back in the day, maybe you guys did this too, they would send out a postcard to all the casting directors in town if you were in a movie or something?
No.
This is how you would bring awareness, because of course there wasn't internet or anything. So if you were an actor and you were in something, you could send out a postcard with your face, with your headshot, saying, you know, oh, Ryder's going to be in this movie on this time. And wow. So my agent, Judy Savage, the great Judy Savage is my agent, blanketed Hollywood, all the casting directors. So it was like my big thing. And then we all sat down with my family to watch it. Maybe this is why I didn't watch Boy Meets World. No. I had gotten the call to come to do looping, and I said to my mom, but I only had like two lines, and then they didn't call back. Looped me. Some woman did my voiceover, so it's not even my voice.
It's
probably
in the Tara movie. Strong. She does everything.
Yeah, so awful.
Wow. Anyway, they did. They David Proust you. They full on David Proust you. Well, that's always nice.
What was we were talking about commercials, and what was your commercial that you did?
My very very first one.
Yeah.
I actually watched it maybe 90 seconds before you guys got here because I just
because he watches it every morning. He starts it every morning. Yeah.
I do. I just got him on DVD.
I'm strong enough.
I can do this. I can do this.
People,
if
like
I just
me.
Watch my Kids and Guns commercial. No, it was a local commercial for New York City about the dangers of kids playing with guns. And I'm running ahead through the park. And we're playing with cap guns, and then one of us ends up having a real gun, and we're then all leaning over a body, and it is like, first of all, my leaning acting
not so good
is the worst leaning acting in the history of leaning acting.
How do you lean poorly?
I will show you after the podcast exactly
and then
how
send
you
me
lean
a copy
poorly.
Of it and put it on our Instagram
in white jeans.
Can we see it on YouTube?
I will
put it on the Pod Meets World Show Instagram.
Yeah, but it is somehow the worst. Like if they were looking for professional leaning actors, I would not have been. I'd have been cut after a 6 week shoot.
My first commercial was also very serious. It was for a doll that when you pushed a button on the top of her head, she grew her first teeth.
What? So creepy.
They had these three dolls. God. They did three different things. So one doll, you put an ice cream cone up to her mouth, and she got like ice cream on her lips. Another one, she had braids and you could pull her hair from the back of her head and pretend
screamed,
like you were cutting her hair.
Stop that!
Why, mommy? What?
You gotta pull the hair. That's how the teeth come out.
Oh my God. And then mine had a hidden button in the head and the two front teeth came down.
So
and
disturbing.
I just remember my dialogue was, look, she's getting her first teeth. But teeth was in Danielle high pitch. So it was, look, she's getting her first teeth. It's so high pitched.
We're gonna put all our first commercials up.
Okay.
On the because I think it's
that's
important.
Right. Because we have your milk commercial. Marty, send us your first commercial.
I did a
commercial.
Pot commercial. Yeah, I send you. I have a pot commercial I did when I was a kid.
What?
And it's like, you know, that's like, this is your brain on drugs.
No.
Oh, okay. Anti-drug. I was going to say, why were they advertising cannabis? Like, I immediately went to
12-year-old spokesman. Here's how Bobby rolls his joint.
Yeah, and I had to act like I was high. And I never smoked weed. And they were like, okay, so act like you're high. I'm like, I've never smoked weed. I'm like 12 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So like, they're just like, just pretend like you don't know where you are and like,
wow.
Just get dizzy, like, kid.
It wasn't, I learned it from watching you. It wasn't that one, was it?
No, this was like, so they use my actual name and they're like, hey, Marty, when's the last time you smoked weed? And I was like,
and you couldn't remember?
No, I can't. And I was like scratching my head and I was like, Marty.
Oh,
and that was it.
That's a commercial, right?
He's already losing
brain cells.
The tagline at the bottom is, that's some good weed.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, now it's legal, so it's, you know, the tables have turned.
Wow. All right, so Marty, when you came on to Boy Meets World, did you have any idea? I mean, the show was already a thing, I guess. We maybe had aired one or two episodes, or
no. His first episode was my first episode.
Yeah, okay, so nothing had aired. So, so what did you know? Yeah, what did you think?
Corey's Alternative Friends. That was the name of the episode.
Right.
Yeah, and that was you were awesome. You know, I remember. We dressed up for Halloween. I remember that.
You were there for the Halloween episode.
For the Halloween.
Yeah. I was in the Halloween one. That was the class reunion, right? That was the name of that one. I dressed up as Mr. Feeny.
That was the coolest thing. You came out as a little Mr. Feeny, which was great.
Yes. Yes.
The mustache, everything. It was awesome.
But so you were around for a little while. I mean, how many episodes did you end up doing?
I'm sorry. I think I'm confused. Okay. Were you there when the cast, when we all dressed up for Halloween on the stage, or are you saying it was the Halloween episode?
You guys dressed up actually off camera and on camera.
Yeah, I think he was there for the actual
one. Yeah, because you were dressed as the Joker.
Yes,
Ryder was dressed as the Joker.
Yep,
that's right. That's right.
I don't know. I don't think Will participated.
No, I did. I was Batman.
Did you?
I had
Michael Keaton
suit, which I still wear most days. Because it's awesome.
He watches his commercial. He puts on his bat suit.
My bat suit. It doesn't fit quite as much. They are 44 regulars now.
Wow.
So you were around. I mean, you know, even the episode we just watched, 106. You were there. I don't even think you had any lines, but you were still there for the whole episode.
Well, I was there. I think the one we're looking at today is Boys to Mensa, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. That one I just had a Halloween mask on. And I had a couple lines at the end of the episode.
Gotcha.
But I did three episodes of Boy Meets World. And I thought I completely messed up because that Halloween episode where I, you know, have the lines with William, I screwed up one of the lines. And that was like the last time I was on the show. And I'm like, oh, that's it. I effed it up.
It was the death chair.
We had a we were cycling through cast faster than they any show on
that's
television.
But that's one of the interesting things about going back and watching from the beginning is as we're all trying to find ourselves as actors, the show is absolutely trying to find itself
because
it doesn't know what it is. It doesn't know who's pairing with who or whom, if I want to be that guy. and it doesn't, Corey kind of start, and then they're like, well, we're going to try to put Eric and Morgan together. Like, they're still trying to fit the pieces together. Yeah. So it had nothing whatsoever to do with you. You could tell, still didn't know what was going on, really, where it was like, all right, we got Feeny and Corey, and we can't have every scene with that, so we're going to bring in Alan. And then it's like, okay, we can't do every scene with that.
And I think also they were really trying to, I think the prevailing mindset at the time was that you couldn't get everything from Corey's school/friendship life with just one friend.
Right.
You have to have a group of friends and some foils and a love interest, and so we're going to build this universe around Corey. And then what they realized pretty early on was that you can have everything you need from the school friendship life with just one best friend.
Yeah. Well, we saw that with the last episode with Lee was that same kind of thing where it's like Lee doesn't have any friends except all the friends he hangs out with all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like we hate that kid, so we're gonna hang out with him every day. Like it didn't even that was they were just trying to throw groups of people together.
Yeah. Marty, did you know about the death chair when you were sitting in the death chair? Was it like something you guys were talking about off screen?
No, I had no idea about the death chair.
Yeah,
I told my mom when I was like, well, I messed that line up, so that's it. That's the end of the road.
Oh my gosh.
Me.
And then they really didn't bring you back and you really thought that was it.
Yeah, and for years, I'm like, if I only would have got that line perfect.
Oh my God. This is dead eyes.
Yeah. This is totally dead eyes.
I mean, it came out good at the end. I mean, when I saw the show, it was really good. But,
this is probably too late to tell you this, Marty, but it had nothing to do with you, They did not know what they were doing when it came to Corey's friends. I mean, they just didn't have the group together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a little too late to.
Who was your favorite person to work with on Boy Meets World, Marty?
Wow.
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I mean, I've got to be honest, Ryder probably.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was just He was like the nicest dude on set.
Yeah, that's all fake.
So Ryder was your favorite person to work with, which
makes
sense.
Yeah, I remember hanging out with Marty. Like, Marty and I, like, hung out. Like, I remember just,
you know. It makes perfect sense, though, too.
Yeah, we were always, I mean, we had our, you know, our little pack of the not only the guest stars, but extras. Like, it was just a fun time. Like, I just remember hanging out. So when Marty, because we reconnected last year at a convention, and he came up and it was like, of course I remember you, Marty. Like, it was so fun to reconnect.
The question is, do you remember the convention? Because I do.
Yes.
Remember where we were?
New Mexico. Yeah. No, wasn't New Mexico?
Yeah, we were in Albuquerque. Yep.
No, but it was so much fun because got to see not only Marty, but all the guys from Sandlot, because they were all there.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of which, you guys did a Sandlot reunion last year, right?
Yeah.
That looks so fun.
The big one was 2018. That was the 25th anniversary. We did almost every MLB stadium in the United States.
Oh my God.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And the cool thing was like Dodgers, because they did a big thing for us. They had every stadium did Sandlot Day, but the Dodgers went above and beyond, and we went into the dugout and we actually took our positions on the Dodger field that we played on Sandlot.
Oh my God.
So they called us out and I went to shortstop. Timmy went to first base. Squints went to outfield. All went to our positions on the Dodger field. And literally the entire stadium stood up and gave us a standing ovation.
Oh, man.
So, and it sold out. It was like 60,000 people.
Wow.
And we were just like, and that's the first time me and the guys have really connected in like 25 years. But to come back to that kind of like, we were just like, what is going on? Like looking around like, is this real? Like, no,
you're rock stars.
Like,
you're so full on rock stars.
Yeah.
What is that then to reconnect with all of them? Is there anyone in particular you're closer to? Had you not talked to anybody in 25 years?
I talked to a guy played Timmy. We always hung out, you know, for the past 6 or 7 years. Mm. But like Smalls and, you know, some of the other guys like Tom Guiry and some of the other guys I hadn't seen in 25 years.
Wow.
And they were just as blown away as I was when we were doing like the Today Show and all these other interviews. And people were like, you know, freaking out, and like people behind the set, you know, the scenes were coming up and asking for our autograph. And we're like, we're on the Today Show, like, and you're asking for our autograph?
Right.
Like, it was crazy. And, you know, we played a game, we played on the Field of Dreams in 2019.
Oh, wow.
Against the girls from A League of Our Own.
Oh come on.
Yeah.
That's
and,
so great.
And we also had like some Hall of Famers, like Wade Boggs was on my team. Oh, and like Ozzie Smith was on the opposing team, and like Ricky Jackson, and like, so we played with these guys, and then we drove back in Wade Boggs RV and got hammered with it and drank a bunch of beer. Because I don't know if you ever seen this Sunny in Philadelphia episode with Wade Boggs.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, it's like the beer challenge. He drinks like 98 beers.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of
and
beers.
And it's real. The guy really can do that.
Oh, and what?
How do you die? How do you not die?
He just kept practice.
Same way you get to Carnegie Hall, my friend.
Yeah. What a thing to practice.
We drank, I mean, he was drinking beers all the way back in the RV. And then we got back and did karaoke with him. And then we saw Squints and Wade Boggs singing that Celine Dion song, My Heart Will Go On.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Right, it was like crazy.
Let me ask you this, because something that occurs to me is you kind of have to, I hope you like baseball, because you kind of have to like it, because you're always going to be associated
it's part of
with
your
it,
life.
Right?
Yep.
And are you good at baseball? Like, can you play?
I wouldn't say I'm as good now as I was when I was a kid, but you know. Yeah, I like baseball. Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, you really have to be in shape to be an athlete, and you aren't.
He's very buff.
So when you're that out of shape, Marty,
are you a bodybuilder?
You know, working out it was weird because I acted till I was 17. I was constantly doing like guest starring roles and stuff like that. When I was 17, I got in a 60-mile-an-hour head-on collision.
Oh my gosh!
2-lane road. Ugh. I died. I actually flatlined on the side of the road.
Are you kidding? Where was this?
Yeah. This was in where I lived, close to like Acton, Agua Dulce area, like kind of like, you know, northern.
Yeah.
It's not Northern California, but it's like towards Palmdale. But I flatlined on the side of the road. And I after that, I left the business. I was like, I'm done. I was burnt out. You know, I was like going to school. You know, going to school all day, then driving 60 miles one way just to get to Hollywood to audition, then driving back home 60 miles, And so I fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh, geez,
and God. My car went over the, you know, double yellow line. I hit another guy head on and, you know, had to relearn how to walk again. And all this stuff happened.
Was he okay too?
Yeah, the person was okay. The person was okay. They survived.
Okay.
But
and you died and then came back.
I died and came back. Yeah. Wow.
Can I ask, and, do you have any memory of being dead?
I do have memories. I did see, it was like a long hallway of stars that were like circling.
Wow.
It was like a long hallway of stars, I remember. And I remember like feeling an out of body experience. I remember feeling like I'm floating above myself. I remember feeling floating above myself. And it was like the most calming, like relaxing feeling that I've ever felt.
Wow.
And then when I woke up, I was in a hospital with my leg in traction, like hanging from a metal pole.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like,
how much later did you wake up? Was this like that later that night or were you out?
I woke up like 4 or 5 days later.
Wow. Jeez.
This is crazy.
Yeah. So and I have I shot a documentary for the Peacock channel, NBC Peacock, end of last year that kind of, they talk about my accident and everything. It's on my Instagram page.
What's it called?
It's called the Marty. It's called Behind the Scenes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And wait, what's your Instagram handle?
Marty_York.
Cool.
Okay. So go check that out. Yeah, I'm looking at that. Go check that
underscore
out.
Team. Underscore worse team. Worse than the Android.
I know. It's really
unbelievable.
Dumb.
Wait, I still can't get over that. I mean, that's insane.
So this took you out of the acting game after this accident then, huh? This really, you know.
Yeah. I left, you know, and that was after like, I think I wore the same, like, and I wanted to say this about, because you mentioned it, the same hood, the flannel hooded vest.
Yeah.
And like every show I was in. It was like the same thing, that oversized hooded flannel vest.
It was very popular.
But I just remember, I did so many things and then I was like, you know, I'm burnt out. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I left.
That's after 17.
I know.
That's so crazy.
What did you do?
Yeah. I did random things. You know, I worked in the mortgage industry. I worked in a coffee shop. I mean, I did a lot, like everything, really.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
And then, you know, about 10 years ago, I decided I was going to get back into the business. And when we did the 20th anniversary of Sandlot, and I did like 3 national commercials the first year I got back in. And, you know, I wanted to be a different kind of a character. I always wanted to be like an action hero when I was a kid. I was like Van Damme and like Arnold Schwarzenegger and,
sure,
you know, all those guys. So I wanted to reinvent myself when I came back. So,
that's why just,
and the whole, whole bodybuilding thing. Yeah. That kind of came from like, I just started like working out after the car accident because I was doing physical therapy.
Right.
Yeah. And they were like showing me to do this and that, and this is how you build this and that. And I started like really loving, you know, fitness and working out, and I just have done it now for like 15 years, 20 years.
That's great. Jeez.
Amazing. Isn't that cool how that, like when you actually can learn the like science behind something and you can notice the difference, you're like, oh, when I do this, it makes me feel this way. Like I noticed that if I focus on the fact that when I work out and take care of myself, I don't wake up with like a kink in my neck and I don't, all of those benefits to working out are so much more motivating to me than like, I'm going to be sleek and small like I'm like, oh, whatever.
Oh, for mental health too. For my mental
health.
Exactly.
Like for mental health.
Running has like changed my life when it came to anxiety. I mean, it makes such a difference when you do that kind of stuff. And yeah, there's a nice bonus that I'm, you know, I'm not wheezing when I walk up a flight of stairs anymore.
Right. That's nice.
But that's not why it's like, has nothing to do with, oh, my jeans fit better. It's just like, wow, my anxiety's better.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I know, I like being able to like pick up my child without feeling like, oh, just kinked my neck.
Yeah,
oh gosh, it's
I hurt my ankle because I stood.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like I sneezed and threw my back out.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So
psychologically, it's great.
It is. It's amazing. But here's the other thing that I think you said that's really interesting is you got burnt out in the industry, you walked away, and you worked a bunch of quote unquote regular jobs. And there's so many people out there that think that like, oh, you're not on camera anymore, and now you're working at a coffee shop. You failed. And it's like, no, what you don't realize is there's a whole lot of people who just went, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
And you walk away, and there's no failure in it whatsoever. It's, no, I'm going to live my life a different way. And you get people that always look at you like, oh, God, he's working in a restaurant now. And it's like, no, I didn't want to do what I was doing. So did you ever struggle with that where you were like, well, I made it as an actor, but I didn't make it where I want to, so I had to leave? Or were you always like, I know I could do this for the rest of my life. I don't want to do this anymore. And you just walked away.
You know, I just got to a point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore, because I was so burnt out from just the constant driving and going to school and memorizing the lines and like going on set. And like, I just was like, I'm so tired of this. Like, I just was like, I just don't, you know, I want to just live a regular life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the acting bug hit me during the 20th anniversary of the film, when I was just like, you know, I started like getting that, you know, vibe again.
That buzz. Like, I know that feeling.
The buzz. And I was just like, I'm gonna give this a shot again and see if I can do this again. And there was never, for me, it was never like, I feel like less of a person for working a regular job.
Yeah.
I think anybody that works period is it's commendable.
You exactly.
know? You're not living off the government.
And, yep.
You know, I give props. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it is what it is. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was thinking to Will's point. It's always crazy to me when people act like it's a big gotcha moment when an actor has a quote unquote real job.
Yeah. You're earning an honest living.
And aside from that, also, what if you have other interests that are like, I worked at Bloomingdale's in the gift wrapping department.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
I knew that. I didn't know that.
I full on knew that.
Yeah. I liked to wrap presents.
Right.
And I was, that's a crazy story.
Did you ever get recognized?
All the time.
But and you didn't lie? You said?
No, I lied. Has anyone ever told you? It's actually not a lie. Anyone ever told you you look like? And I say yes.
Yeah, I'll do that
And
too.
Then we all just sit there smiling at each other. And they're, I think, waiting for me to say, surprise, it is. And I'm waiting for them to then follow up with the question is, are you? You have other interests. You have other things you want to pursue. When I went to college, Cal State University, I went
Hold on,
Cal State.
I'm curious, Danielle, when did you wrap? When did you do this? The wrapping of the presents.
The wrapping of the presents was around, I was like 28 years old, 27. Oh, wow. I was.
So 2000.
Let's see, 13 years ago. So 2009.
2009. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I was in school. I was going to, Cal State Fullerton at the time. Actually, no, I take that back. I think I was still in community college. I went to community college for 2 years and then I transferred to Cal State Fullerton. And I actually went because, so here's, you want to know the story?
Yes, sure. Okay. Of course.
All right. So I went to Bloomingdale's to get a gift for Maitland Ward's wedding.
Oh, okay.
Wow. It's the year after Maitland Ward got married.
Will, did you get invited to Maitland Ward's wedding?
I did not get invited.
Did you get invited?
I did not. I must have gotten lost in the mail.
I guess we're still waiting for that invite, Maitland.
I went to Maitland. I was the only cast member at Maitland Ward's wedding. So I don't know.
Were you closer to Maitland than we were?
Yeah, I thought Will would have been the one closest. Yeah. You worked with her all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't even remember where. I don't remember how. I think she did have my number, though, because I think she texted me for my address and then said, "We're, you know, I'm getting married." And I was like, wonderful. So I think she did have my number, maybe.
Wow. Interesting.
Wow. Okay.
We'll have to ask her when she's on the show.
Exactly.
So I was not as organized back then as I am now. And it was literally the night before Maitland's wedding. And she had registered at Bloomingdale's. And I was like, you know, it was like 5 p.m. or something. And I went to Bloomingdale's in Newport Beach and pulled up her registry and saw that she had registered for these really pretty wine glasses. And I was like, great, I'm going to get her the whole set of these wine glasses. So I asked somebody to help me. They sent them. They said, would you like this gift wrapped? And I said, yes, thank you. Whew, saves me from having to wrap this gift. So they send it to the back. So I go back there to wait for the gift. And there's a girl back there and she's, you know, working in the customer service gift wrap area. But she's not acknowledging me at all. And so I'm just like, I'm sure she's wrapping my gift. And she's just kind of tinkering. Then she disappears for a little bit. Then she comes back out. I go, hi, sorry. I just wanted to make sure that they told me they were sending the wine glasses back here to be wrapped. And she goes, oh yeah, they're not going to be done tonight. And I go, oh, well, why? And she goes, well, I've already closed the register. And I go, oh, what time do you guys close? And she's like, 7. It's like 5:30. And I go, oh, well, when are they going to be available? She's like, can you come back tomorrow after 3? And I go, no, it's for a wedding tomorrow. Like if we're going to gift wrap them, I need them done now.
Right.
And she goes, well, yeah, I already closed the register. And I go, I'm just confused because it's only 5:30. And she goes, well, sometimes when it's slow, I close the register.
Wow.
Basically, I don't want to help
I'm
you.
Not doing it.
And I don't want to do anything.
Oh, okay. Wow. And I said, I have no problem wrapping it. can you just give me the materials and I'll wrap it right here? And she goes, okay. Turns around, pulls the paper off the thing, rips it off, hands me the ribbon, the bow, whatever. And I sit down on the floor in the Bloomingdale's customer service department and wrap the gift. Well, who comes back there but the manager?
Oh, no.
Comes around the corner and goes, hi, I'm sorry, what are you doing? And I go, oh, I'm just wrapping this gift. She said it wasn't going to be available until tomorrow. And I really need it tonight because I'm a last minute organizer and, you know, whatever. And he's like, no. I am so sorry. What do you? And she's in the back like, I closed the register. And he's like, what do you mean you closed the register? So anyway, I'm like, it's totally fine. I promise it's fine. Let me just wrap the present. So I wrap the present. He looks at me and he goes, that's actually really good. I said, Thanks. I love to wrap presents. And he gave me his card and said,
my God.
You
got discovered. You had the Hollywood. You got a special thing, kid. You got something. You know what?
He gave me his card and said, we hire gift wrappers for Christmas.
This is a reverse Hollywood story. This is amazing.
People come in here and I'm like, really? And he hands me the card and I'm thinking, would I be interested in this? I think I might. And I saved the card. I thought about it, and then filled out the application.
I just got off the bus yesterday.
And then worked with the girl who closed the register early. And I was really good at wrapping presents, but also I was very good at customer service.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were.
Danielle would like to thank the Academy.
I'd like to thank Bloomingdale's and Newport Beach.
For the
Academy. And I had the greatest time. That is why she is
that great present wrapper to this day.
I was there. I was just going to be there for the holiday season. And then I extended my stay worked in customer service and helped people with their bills. And worked the Bloomingdale sale where people would lose their marbles if they thought they got one less like $20 off card. I've had a woman lunge across the counter at me. It was incredible.
That's because you were like, I'm sorry, I closed the register. It's 2:30. Yeah. Sometimes when it gets really busy, I just don't want to sit back
and work on my vocal fry. I like to just make this sound.
She was actually a very nice woman. And it is true that when it is very slow back there, like on a regular day.
Oh, so you became her.
No.
I didn't start closing early,
but I did understand the allure of like, do we really need to do this? I
love that you got discovered. Like, wow, these corners are amazing.
I've never seen a tape job like that.
You only used one piece of tape on this entire thing. How is this possible?
You got
okay. You had a bow machine, didn't you? Because this couldn't be done naturally. We all did that though. I studied with your brother, Ryder. I studied to be an EMT.
Wow.
At UCLA. Yeah. I mean,
did you complete it?
No, I was like, we were like a week away from it. And then I got some
job. Were you there
job.
When Shiloh did the drunk performance?
What?
Okay. So, I don't know if you guys have ever had this moment where like your acting kind of becomes like a superpower. When I was in college, I would do like creative writing classes. And if we were doing like a play or something, somebody would be like, we'd reread it aloud.
Okay.
And the fact that you could like act would be, anyway, and this happened to Shiloh in his EMT class. They decided to do, a role play where they're like, okay, now we need somebody to pretend to be drunk.
Oh my gosh.
And like, you know, they were like, oh, Shiloh, could you do this? And he got up and just
nailed it.
Because he can play drunk really well. Yeah. And he nailed it. And the whole class was like, not sure what to do. Because they were like, oh my God, this guy is acting like a real drunk person. Anyway, he talks about that EMT class. It's like this moment where he's like, all right, it's kind of like a superpower. Like,
did Shiloh complete the EMT course?
Yeah, he did. That's so cool.
I did that for a little bit too, actually.
Yeah.
It's fun. We had a blast doing that. So, and then I got a pilot. And then I was like, oh, I guess I'll go be an actor again.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
As a podcast focus on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation.
First steps or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back, and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S., and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive, along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box, and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world. So you are back in the entertainment industry. You are still working. Tell us about what you're working on now, what we can catch you in, all that stuff.
So, check my documentary out on Marty_York and on Instagram and in my LinkedIn bio, whatever. I did a really funny Old Spice commercial. Have you seen the Old Spice commercials with Isaiah Mustafa? The black
yeah,
guy
he's
on the
hysterical. He's like,
of course.
Yes. That guy is brilliant. Yeah. Too. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen someone do a monologue like that. Like with the whole set moving around you.
It's intense. Yeah.
Like, have you actually seen how these Old Spice commercials are made?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, I haven't.
I hosted a show called The Dish once and he came on as a guest and we recreated a little funny, jokey. And he, first of all, is the nicest guy.
He's super nice. Talented too.
Super talented. Yeah. And mm-hmm. What a skill set.
God, that's funny.
Yeah. So that's YouTube Executive Spray Tan Parties. Is the name of the commercial.
Oh, I got to go check that one out.
It's really funny. Yeah, it's really, really hilarious.
Oh, that's hysterical.
So I want to talk about what the next episode. So you did, we did Corey's Alternative Friends. Then we were, you were in this episode, yeah. episode number 106. What is the third episode that you did?
Class Reunion.
Class right? Reunion.
Yeah. Class
that's the,
Reunion.
That's the one where every, that's where he dresses like Feeny. That's where everybody, you go to the, like what you're going to be in the future.
Oh.
When we're like,
oh, right.
Corey's got the choreos and I can't
believe I say I'm fat. That. I say like, yeah, I'm wearing a fat suit. I'm like, my uncle's fat. My dad's fat. I'm going to be fat.
Is that the one where Topanga's in a toga?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds
I'm like
about
the president
right.
of the United States. Yeah, we keep all like men underground for breeding?
Yes.
Is that your line?
I think that's my
great.
Line, yeah.
That's
it. It's actually, you would love it. If I, it's very of the now.
All right, so when is this coming out? This is like 108 or something?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's later in the season, I think.
Okay.
One funny thing I noticed, I rewatched some of these episodes before I came on here. I was looking at the episode where I say, hey, look, it's Don King.
Yeah.
You know, to Corey, and Ben's mouth is mimicking my lines.
We talked about that. We actually talked about it on the episode. Like, he's mouthing along with you the whole time. Yep. Yeah.
Isn't that funny? I didn't notice it, but Will pointed it out when we watched it. Yeah.
Yes. He's like saying my lines. Like,
and it's not even subtle. Like, he's like full on mouthing your lines along. Yeah. It was hysterical. Yeah.
What do you remember most from that episode?
Oh, man. I just remember hanging out with you guys back, you know, backstage and, you know, talking to you guys and just that camaraderie off camera that you guys have.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you were in the classroom with us. I mean,
school.
Had,
I feel like I was in the classroom like that whole first season, like, you know, just doing the whole, all the scenes in the classroom. I did so many shows in classrooms when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's where kids hang
crazy.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was, the camaraderie between you guys is great. And going to the commissary with you guys. Oh, I do remember going to you guys hung out with the Home Improvement kids.
Yeah.
At the little rec area.
Oh yeah.
So we were playing
a trailer.
We were playing basketball. I was playing basketball against Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Zach or whatever. And we were all playing basketball and like John fell down and scraped his knee and he started like crying.
Aww.
And I was like, get up, you little bitch.
No. You said that to him?
Yeah, I said, get up, you little bitch.
Oh my god.
My goodness.
I was just like a bad kid, man. I just like
I don't remember.
Now, were you actually
a bad kid?
Like in real life, what was your life like behind the scenes?
I was just a mouthy kid. Like, you know, I always played like the street kid, the smart talk, you know, the smart ass.
Yeah.
You know, the Italian kid, the quick talker, whatever. But I was kind of like that in real life too. So like it was just translated on the screen. And
thing with him on the ground. Well, I have to say, like,
I'm like, get up, you little.
hanging out with the guys from Sandlot was pretty amazing.
Oh man,
because they have this rapport with each other that is very much guys that play sports, like that were on a team together as kids. Like, it feels like you guys are an actual. And they all revert to like a sort of teenage mentality, and they just give each other. It's so much fun to be around. It's a great group of guys. Yeah.
Well, especially for you who doesn't have a whole lot of like stereotypical male energy.
What was your favorite sports team, Ryder?
I like the one where you throw the net into the.
I like the one where you, they score the wickets.
Yeah.
Ryder is to sports as Ryder is to sports. That's the only analogy I can come up with.
I always got that with Ryder. I always got that. This guy's not really into sports or anything, but that's cool. I really wasn't either when I was a kid. I really wasn't into baseball, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to learn to play baseball when I did Sandlot. So we trained for like, you know, a month out here in LA.
That's awesome.
You know,
we
got really good, but you know, I like sports, but I like, you know, UFC and stuff like that now.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Not me.
Well, Marty, thank you for being here with us. We so appreciate your time. It was wonderful to catch up with you. Please check out Marty at his Instagram, Marty_York. And he's got a link in bio. You can see his documentary. And don't forget to send us your commercial. I'd love to.
Oh, we can't wait to see this.
We're going
to
put them on the Instagram. Yeah, we'll do reels of all of our first commercials.
Yikes.
Yes. I'm going to send you the link. I'll send you the link. It's actually on my Instagram. So
okay, great.
I can link it to your messaging thing, right?
Yeah. I think you can do that. But also you can email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. send it to us there. We'll make sure you have that, and you can email it.
It's so much fun with you guys. I don't want it to end. I love hanging out with you guys.
I know. Well, we'll have to do it again at a con, I think.
Yeah.
This I'd time it will not be in Albuquerque, probably.
I see these guys at cons all the time. Daniel, yeah. Where are you at? I never see you.
Well, I've been having babies. It's I'm always like pregnant or giving birth.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Or having a newborn. I mean, I only have two kids, but it's been in the time since we've started doing conventions. Yeah. So if you think about how many opportunities I've had to do conventions between, I'm going to have a newborn at that time, or, I'm going to be extremely pregnant at that time. It's been a lot in three years.
It's a great excuse to just leave your kids, though. A convention. Just leave them somewhere and go to a convention. It's the best.
Oh, I thought you meant leave them at the convention.
Well, too. I mean, I guess if you want to, but I don't have kids, so I don't know how they're raised, but I imagine you can't just leave them and put them in crates and stuff like that.
By the way, I listen to your husband all the time on the radio.
Oh, Jensen.
Yes.
He's great. Yes. He's actually executive producer of this podcast.
Yep. Podcast brought to you by Jensen. Cool.
In the other room.
He's in the
watching
other room
my child. Right now, watching my child. This brings the conversation full circle.
Jensen is watching over writer's son, Indy. It's exactly what we're talking about. This is how we do work here. Well, thank you so much for being here. We can't wait to see you again next time. Thank you so much, Marty.
Great to see you, Marty.
Bye, Marty.
Awesome.
See you.
Bye.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
Sometimes it's a struggle between buying what you want over buying what you need.
But with the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can do both. You can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you can earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking.
earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like those new golf clubs you've been eyeing.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a divot repair tool after you've torn up your lawn.
Let's try that again. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like workout equipment for your home.
And then earn 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller to soothe your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Oh, man. Reunions are so fun.
That's awesome.
It was so funny to run into Marty because I he doesn't look the same at all. Obviously.
No,
like,
yeah.
He's such a skinny little kid. And now he's like this.
Yeah,
buff.
In the episode, he's so skinny.
He's such a little
and
kid.
Now he is. I mean, you're gonna have to see a picture of this guy.
Yeah.
He is buff.
Yeah. I didn't recognize him, but the second he said, like, Marty I'm York, Marty York, it was like, oh my God, I have like really fond memories of hanging out with him. And
he was also a really good actor as
I know,
a kid.
He was great.
A really good actor.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a bummer he didn't stick around. But I mean, you know, that was the nature
get over
of the show.
Whole story.
They were just
I know.
Poor guy.
I mean,
to have internalized all those years of thinking
I meant also that he died.
Oh yeah. I thought you meant just the fact that he thought he got fired
too.
Because
I mean, man.
But I mean that's the way it is when you're a kid. Like, you know, you, the pressure on a child actor is just intense.
But it's a pressure on any kid. It also it's one more reminder that things you say or the way you treat somebody, even if it's instantaneous and it's a small kind of thing that happens, can so affect somebody's
life. Well, something can be so small in your life.
Exactly. And
but it can be so huge in somebody else's.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's funny because I was thinking about this recently that like we make and it's true that childhood is like fun and you have no responsibilities. And we always tell kids like, oh, enjoy this time now, because once you become an adult, you know, you don't get to have these moments. But also being a kid is so hard.
Oh, yeah.
It is truly so hard. Yeah. And I think sometimes we minimize it because we're, you know, now adults and we know what it's like to have the weight of the world and families on your shoulders and all that stuff. So that we kind of minimize what childhood is to a kid. We're like, oh gosh, junior high.
Yeah, right,
wait
right,
till you're an adult. And really what we should be telling kids more is like, this is really, really difficult, but it's not always going to be like this.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, my son is terrified of things that I think are ridiculous,
right.
But that doesn't make them any less terrifying for him. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And he said that it was, you know, during the pandemic was a big reality check for me of like, my in-laws moved in with us during the lockdown period, and four adults and my son living in a house together. And he was like, at one point, you know, after a couple of weeks, he's just like, I'm bad at everything. And I realized like, oh, right. Because you're surrounded by adults who can do everything. And we're always telling you, just put your clothes on, just brush your teeth. We're always telling you what to do. And you're always messing up.
Right. And we're speaking and we're going, here, let me help you.
Yes. And so I've like, that was like the first realization, like, oh, you need to like get to on his level as opposed to always be like, you know.
Sure.
And
well, it's also, I mean, I couldn't imagine being a kid with social media and every other thing else that's out there. It's just horrifying. Crazy.
Yeah, well, we haven't gotten there yet, but, you know, at 7.
Yeah.
Although there is a girl in his class who has a phone, which I think is insane.
Is it just one? Do you know if it has data? Is it just for calling out?
It's for calling out, but she can play games and stuff on it. So,
That's good.
She has YouTube.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
My son wants to be an influencer. He, like, that's what they all want to be.
Oh, yeah.
They don't talk about wanting to be.
Exactly.
They want to be, which is just mind-boggling.
That is what kids want to do now.
How do we fix these VCRs, guys?
Guys, I don't know.
you just keep hitting the button till it breaks.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Pod Meets World. You can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show on Instagram. You can email us your thoughts, tell us more about what you think. We're loving the feedback you guys are sending us now that the podcast is out in the world. You can all hear it and listen wherever you get podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe. But email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
Yes, you're nailing
there's
that.
There's also merch.
Oh, there's merch.
Merch. Pod merch. we've got our hair logos on a t-shirt, which you can get at podmeetsworldshow.com. And thanks for joining us. We are really having a good time with this.
This is great.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbakhsh. Producer Lorraine Verwez, engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.